저와 여러분이 이 시간 은혜 받으실 말씀 구절은
Today's scripture is Daniel chapter 12 verse 1. Daniel chapter 2 verse 10. Many will be purged, purified and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand. But those who have insight will understand. Amen.
성결을 이루기 위해 우리가 가져야 할 마음가짐과 행함에 대해 살펴보겠습니다.
We'll look into the kind of attitude that you should have to accomplish, cultivate the holiness. And in this message, we'll mainly focus on the trials which are needed for us to accomplish holiness. Many people would like to feel like they want to avoid, evade the trials because it sounds hard, difficult. But it is said trials are blessings. Trials are something that that make us firm and stronger through difficult training. Steel as itself is useless, but as we refine it, when we heat it up in the fire and smash it to make it into a shape, into a proper shape that we need, then it'll become a sword or knife or the things that we need in our lives. It's the same with us. Usually, jewels come from the precious gemstones. They have to be refined and they have to be adorned. According to how you cut them and how you shape them, the value will be very different. The value of the gemstones will be very different. So as the gemstone itself, we cannot imagine the value of the value. So they first have to cut it into a beautiful jewel. Of course, the actual gemstone has to be good, but the gemstone in itself, it cannot become a jewel, precious jewel, without the crafting. So, in our case too, we were just like some gemstones. Of course, God makes, God refines and crafts those who have good gemstones into good jewels, precious jewels. But no matter what kind of gemstone we are, if we are in the hands of God, we will be able to become beautiful jewels. Proverbs 17:3 says, "The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests hearts." So He tests us, refines us, so that we can become holy children of God who are men of spirit and whole spirit. When we are in this hand of God and when He refines us Himself, He will make us the most beautiful, most wonderful. So it is a blessing. It is such a blessing to commit everything into the hands of God. So let us remember this fact very clearly. Isaiah 64:8 says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are potter, and all of us are the work of your hand." God the Father is making us into a good vessel, good or a pot. And He makes us into the best possible shape. But if we say, "Oh, I want to become of this shape, I want to be used in this way that I want," but it's not really obedience. So God considers everything and uses us in the most appropriate and best possible way. So if we insist that we want to be used in a certain kind of way that we want, it is not really what the God wants. It's not the really proper. So we have to. And also, if we act that way, it means we will have to go through the trials for a long time. So I hope you will be wise believers who can overcome, who can go through the trials quickly. But we must not be mistaken. There are some tests or trials given by the enemy devil and Satan. So we will first look into the kinds of tests brought by the enemy devil, and then we'll get into the God-given trials. The first reason why we go through trials is because we lived in the darkness, and tests and trials are given by the enemy devil and Satan. It means they accused us when the serpent tempted Eve to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said to serpent, you will eat dust of the ground. But serpents never eat the dust of the ground. They eat frogs or eggs or other animals. But God told serpent to eat the dust of the ground, which means spiritually, which symbolizes human beings who are made from the dust of the ground, men of flesh who commit sins. So the devil will eat men of flesh who are created from the dust of the ground. So if we dwell in sins, we will be they will eat us, which means they will bring accusations and tests and trials upon us. So when we commit sins and we face the retribution, we should not say God is punishing us. James 1:13-14 says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust." If you do not live by the word, or if you do not keep the physical order of the things, you might get a disease. And in that case, you should not say God is testing you. It is that because you broke peace, you broke order of things, enemy devil brought test upon you. Or you got a loan to expand your business with your excessive desire, and you are suffering financially now. And you shouldn't say God is refining you, God is testing you. If you misunderstand God for that reason, that you will, then you won't be able to get away, get out of that difficult situation. But if you are suffering because of your sins, you have to first depart from your sins. You should understand that, acknowledge that these problems, these diseases came because of your sins. So what kinds of sins have you committed? You have to realize them and depart from those sins so that the tests and trials will have nothing to do with you. If you turn from those sins and repent and do away with those sins, you will be protected by God and the tests and trials will stop. There are different ways of shape, different forms of tests. It is caused by sins. They come as retribution of sins. Now you repented. You committed sins and you repented, but now you don't commit sins anymore, but you still have the sinful natures of the sin that you committed. Of course, the magnitude of the sinful nature will be different, but you didn't pull out the roots of the sins yet, so you still suffer. So, in that case, you'll feel kind of embarrassed about your past, and you will try to pull out the roots of the sins that you committed. So you'll try to, and you'll try to change yourself very quickly so that this kind of trial will go away. But let me get into this, elaborate on this later in the message. Another form of trial is the trial allowed for you to cast away the original evil. We were born in sins and evil, and we didn't know sins and evil were sins and evil. So we need this word of God to realize our sins and evil. If you commit works of the flesh, it is seen on the outside, so it is easy for you to realize it. And if you try a little hard, then those works of the flesh will be easily, relatively easily cast away. But the problem is with the sinful natures that are in your heart. So if, even those the sinful natures, if you listen to the messages and humble yourself and acknowledge them and cast them away, you can cast them away relatively easily. But it is not easy to realize the evil that is deep in your nature, deep in your nature. So to understand that and throw it away, sometimes you need trial. And also I will get into this in the later in the message too. And also, there are trials. Sometimes you need to have broad heart to accept everybody. But casting away evil doesn't mean you have a broad heart. So, through trials, God sometimes broadens our heart. Also, you are in spirit and whole spirit. Sometimes you still have to go through trials because it is to glorify God greatly. Also, we need the trials to receive great power. In case of Daniel and three friends, they were innocent. But to glorify God greatly, for God to receive great glory and to give them, these people, great rewards. Sometimes God allows trials to take place in their lives. These trials are not given just to randomly anybody. Even if you want to long to receive this kind of trial, God doesn't give this kind of trial to random person. You have to have the proper faith, proper measure of faith, so that God can receive glory through those trials when you pass those trials. And God will pay you back with great rewards and blessings, both on this earth and in heavenly kingdom. And now we look into the kind of trials that are needed for us to become sanctified. And what kind of attitude we should have when we go through these trials so that we can become sanctified more quickly and will be more proper in the sight of God. The first kind of trial for sanctification is to erase the traces of sins, traces of past sins. We once committed sins, but we are not committing those sins again now. But sometimes to cleanse the traces of these past sins completely, God sometimes allows for us to go through trials. Our sins were forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. We repented, and we had the great repentance. But sometimes we deliberately committed sins, or sometimes we committed sins leading to death. But through the sacrifice and devotion of the shepherd, God opened the way of forgiveness once again, and we were forgiven. So we were forgiven. So we couldn't be saved, but now we came into the boundary of salvation again. This is such a great grace and love. But although we repented, for us to become blameless in the sight of God, we have to be completely free of any evil or sinful nature so that we can go into New Jerusalem. I repented of past sins. I don't commit those sins anymore. That is not enough. We have to have no trace of that sin at all. But I'm not saying all sins will leave traces even after you repent. Suppose hatred and some envy and in your heart, when you realize them and repent of them and turn back, and if you do not hate others anymore, if you do not envy others anymore, any longer than you don't have any. Now you don't have any end for hatred. It doesn't mean, but I'm not saying these sins, you know, hatred and envy in the heart will leave you traces. The kind of sins that will leave you traces is usually severe, serious works of the flesh leading to death. There are different magnitudes of sins. Some sins are lighter than other sins. Some sins are heavier than others. Those heavier sins are sins leading to death, usually. Or, you know, there are very many kinds of, many different magnitudes of sins. When I say traces of sins, is about usually sins leading to death or very evident works of the flesh. They are great and severe and heavy sins. Even if you repented of those sins, you still have the traces of those sins. So, I hope you will have a proper distinction. Senior Pastor also gave us an example. We have a white, suppose dress shirt, white dress shirt. Suppose we write something with a pencil. One line with a pencil. The pencil, if you clean it, then it won't leave any trace. But if you put very dark ink on that white dress shirt, then even if you wash it, it will leave the trace. It'll remain as the stain. And if you put a black ink, and again, and again, and again, and you put so much black ink that the white dress shirt now is black, it's not white at all. And even if you wash this shirt so much, the ink will not be blotted out very easily. And if you want to get it out, get the ink out, the stains out completely, it'll rather wear out the shirt itself. So when we committed such grave sins, so though you can think about the difference between just drawing a line with a pencil and putting a black ink on a white dress shirt. If you were leaders and if you deliberately committed sins, it is the kind of sins that cannot be cleansed. And the Bible says there are sins that for which there is no forgiveness. But through the such tremendous sacrifice and devotion of the senior pastor, we had this chances of repentance, and we received the grace of repentance. But now, our hope is not just to be saved. We hope to enter into New Jerusalem. We shouldn't just be satisfied with the first level of faith. Now we have to advance into the second and third level of faith and to the rock of faith and spirit and Holy Spirit. In order to do that, we have to cleanse all the traces of all the past sins. And for us to do that, we might need to go through some trials. That's what I'm talking about. So we have to cleanse ourselves completely. But sometimes, some people, they do not commit sins any longer because they repented. But they still have those sinful natures in their heart, the roots of those sins. But they don't realize that fact. Because in the past, they committed sins and they listening to the warnings and messages about those sins of the senior pastor. You know, they heard how filthy those sins are. So we repented. So they are not committing those sins any longer. Because they are not committing those sins any longer, they mistakenly think they don't have the traces. They mistakenly think they cast away this original sinful nature. But in fact, that is not the case. In those cases, God has to refine them sometimes in order for them to realize the sinful nature. Because they think they don't have it while they do. So if you cast away those sinful natures, while after repenting, we all have to go through trials. But if you just stopped committing sins, and if you think you have already cast off sinful natures, you might have to go through trials to realize them and cast them away. Let me give you an example. You committed adultery or sexual immorality with another person of opposite sex, and you don't want to think about this lust. You don't even want to think about immorality. And God still sees the sinful nature, original sinful nature. So from in the third level of faith, there are 100. You know, God can tell you there are beginning stage, middle stage, and rock of faith, and 70th percentile, 80th, 90th percentile, and even 99.99 percentile. So it's the same with our sins. Just by praying for 1 week, or not so many sins will be cast away, just by praying for 1 week. And suppose you prayed today, and you might have cast away 5% of the total sins of the sinful nature that you have. And you prayed hard, and you cast away 30%, and the 70% is remaining. So even about the same sin, there are many different depths and magnitude and of the sinful nature. And if you have this lust, and you, now you don't commit sexual immorality, and now you think you don't want to think about it, and you don't want to commit those sins again, but you still have sinful natures, original sinful natures. Now you are not really looking at the people of opposite sex, and sometimes you have but you still have loneliness, or you're not beloved. Or in case of women, they want to look pretty. They want to look beautiful. And if somebody else is loved, they are jealous. And they have these original sinful natures, but they don't realize that deep in their nature. So just because they don't look at other men or people of persons of opposite sex, and they don't think about those things because they don't want to do that, they think they don't have these sinful natures, but in the sight of God, they still do have these things. But one day, they get a disease or something, and they might wonder, why did this disease come upon me? While I don't have anything to really, I haven't really committed any sins. But when you pray by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you might realize in the past, before this disease came, you didn't want to realize your sins. But now, because you have a disease, you look into yourself in more detail. So you try to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit so that you can realize many things. You can understand much more things from the messages. So whether you have a trial or not at this moment, we have to humble ourselves. We shouldn't just think, oh, I'm not committing those sins any longer. I don't have those sinful natures. We shouldn't just say that easily. But we have to reflect upon ourselves against this pure Word of God so that we can realize whatever shortcomings we have. So that we can realize ourselves. So with the trials, we humble ourselves and pray, and we try to understand more things from the Word of God. So we realized we are not committing adultery or sexual immorality as of now, but we still have the nature, the sinful nature, the lust in our nature. So that is why God allowed for us to go through this trial, so we could have realized this and we can cast it away. So through trials, we can realize the sinful nature deep in our heart, even the original sinful nature. So we can cast away, and through the efforts to cast it away, and as we thankfully accept and go through those trials, God will give you the blessing that so that the traces of those sins will be completely removed. James 1,
이것에 옳다 인정하심을 받은 후에 주께서 자기를
12 says, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him.
믿음의 4단계에서 받을 수 있는 면류관입니다.
Crown of life is given for fourth level of faith.
왜 시험을 하시나요?
Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. So now you have a trial. Now you realize your shortcomings and you cast them away. And through trials, now you are approved. So you will have the qualifications to receive the crown of life. But to perseveres, because it says persevere, persevering doesn't mean you clench your teeth and just try to bear with the situation. To persevere means you realize your shortcomings or sinful natures and you cast them away. It is not just to waste time. When you realize the reason why you are going through trials, you have to realize the sinful natures deep in your heart. And if you are thankful for that, the trials will last much shorter. But if you just stay there, if you just don't do anything, and if you just sit there, then it doesn't mean you pass the trial, but the trial will be prolonged. So realize the love of the Father. Realize the reason why these trials came upon you. Then those trials will stop, cease, go away very quickly. If you change with joy and thankfulness in the trials, then you will be approved that you are, your sins are no longer there.
두 가지 측면을 이해하시면 되겠습니다. 내 안에 그 지난날의 죄를 지었던 근본의 죄성도 버리는 연단.
The trials, one is to cast away the sinful natures that you committed, and the other aspect is to erase, remove the traces of those sins in the world. After you commit a crime, you will have the criminal record. And if you have a criminal record, it is not easy to live in this society. And it's difficult to get a job, and there are many difficult things. Even though you have great ability or knowledge, the criminal records will be following you all throughout your life. Suppose you made a mistake. Maybe you were involved in some kind of violence or some criminal activity, and you now have, when you are young, and now you have a criminal record. And as he grows up, he comes back to his senses. Now he studies hard, and he learns a lot of things. But because of his criminal record, it's not easy for him to be, he might go through some difficult situations in getting jobs and everything. So he might have to regret his one mistake. So if he can just get rid of this, cancel out this criminal record, it'll be such a blessing. Then we will receive this kind of blessing, the same kind of blessing. We committed sins in the past, and because of that, we cannot really grow up in faith, and we cannot go into a better dwelling place in heaven. But by the love of God, through the trial, He will wash away the original sinful natures, and also even the traces of those sins. So it is such a great blessing. And I hope you when you go through trials, I hope you will be thankful and joyful.
또 죄의 보응으로 받는 연단을 잘 받아서 깨끗하게 씻김 받으면 물론
By going through trials very well, you can be cleansed very well. And one of the representative examples is the case of King David. He committed adultery and he killed his man, one of his men, Uriah, a faithful man. And because of that, he had to go through a trial, such a harsh trial. 2 Samuel 12:9 says, "Why have you despised the word of the Lord by doing evil in His sight?" So to commit sins is to despise the word of God. So when he heard this rebuke, King David repented from the bottom of his heart, not just to shed a couple of drops of tears at all I did wrong, just to avoid that situation. No, he repented really from the depth of his heart. Of course he repented, but in case of King Saul, he repented, but it was just to avoid that situation. But in case of King David, he really repented from the bottom of his heart. So God accepted his repentance. And God said through Nathan in 2 Samuel 12:13, Nathan said to David, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You shall not die." It was a sin equivalent to they could bring about punishment of death. So, because that sin was taken away, so David was not going to die. Although the sin was washed, forgiven, but there would be some trials. In 2 Samuel 12:14 it says, "However, because by this deed you have given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme." Who are the enemies of the Lord? They are the enemy devil. And Satan, "The child also that is born to you shall surely die. The son that he would beget through Bathsheba will die." And even after that, there will be a great trial. So after some time passed, because of the rebellion of his son Absalom, he had to suffer great humiliation. He had to run from his palace. And he was running away. And one of the people said, "Shimei, get out, you man of bloodshed and worthless fellow." But in the trial, David showed such great humbleness. He just acknowledged the fact that it was caused. Such an insult was caused by his past sin. And even though one of the people was insulting him, he wouldn't kill him or anything. He just accepted the situation and committed everything into the hands of God. If you go through trials, we should have this kind of attitude too. What kind of attitude of mind do we have? We have to feel the love of God who is changing us and thoroughly repent and turn away so that all the sins will be washed away and even the traces of sins will be washed away. So after the trials, we will be able to receive great blessings. And if you think about the trial of the King David, it is something very severe, such a serious occasion. He was almost dethroned, and by his own son. What kind of betrayal is that? And all his concubines were humiliated in the daylight in front of the sight of everybody by his son Absalom. But David had absolute trust in God, and he took up all the trials with thankfulness, and he cast away the evil that is in his nature. And so even the traces of his sins were washed away. So he went up to such a high place in heavenly kingdom. He received such a great blessing after persevering in the trial. So the same goes with us. Not just to be forgiven of our sins, but to be able to go into New Jerusalem. And we have to be cleansed completely, and sometimes we need to go through trials. And when I talk about trials, if you might think, "Oh, I didn't go through any of the trials, and do I really have to get a great disease or something to be able to realize something in me and go into New Jerusalem?" You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry in such a way. You know, these trials are not given just to random persons either. You know, only those who can accept those trials, those who are eligible to be able to go into New Jerusalem can be given this kind of a trial so they can acknowledge themselves, realize themselves, and cast away even the original root of sinful natures. And also, we are living in a time where the trials that we have to go through were a lot, to a great extent, decreased because of the grace of God. And sometimes trials are not just coming all the time as a form of disease. Sometimes there are trials of heart, you know, afflictions in heart. You committed sins, some people committed sins many times again and again, and it became a hardened heart. So sometimes it is difficult for them to realize themselves, that even if they realize themselves, they forget about it and they feel sorry before God. But sometimes, so some people, they pray hard all the time for the answer to come to them. But because of, you know, there are many different kinds of trials, so basically, so according to your characters and natures and different situations, the trials can come in many forms, in many different ways. But we have to remember that whatever trial we are going through is much lighter than we are supposed to be going through. I mentioned the case of King David. In order for him to go into New Jerusalem and become a great person in heavenly kingdom, he had to go through such a great trial. It was something so fearful. But for us to go into New Jerusalem, we don't have to go through such great trials. We can learn from our life examples, real life examples. Because why? Because the shepherd is taking up the 90% of what we have to do. He opened the church after going into the Holy Spirit. And for the last 31 years, he only lived for the glory of God. He doesn't have to lose any of his energy. He doesn't have to pray all the time alone in the mountains. And yet, for such a long time, he had to go through so many sufferings, and he had to sacrifice himself to such a great extent. It's because of us to fill up the 90% of what we have to do to become sanctified. So let us be thankful with all our heart. If you really try hard with a thankful heart, we are in this kind of era where time where we can just do 10% of what we are supposed to do, actually. So I believe we have to be really grateful from the bottom of our heart for the sacrifice and dedication of the shepherd too. When we are thankful for that, we will have the willingness to change. We'll have the strong urge, strong willpower to change. And we will pass all the trials with faith. And if we go through these trials that make us perfect, more and more perfect, then we'll have to try even harder to even erase the traces of our past sins. If we are going through trials, we'll have to feel the love of the Father God who cleanses us completely so that we can be thankful. We don't have to feel it is hard through these trials. You know, I just mentioned the criminal record. How can you erase this criminal record? It doesn't just go away. But the Father God is erasing, letting this criminal record go. And we have to pay the price, full 100%. But our shepherd is paying the 90% of the price that we have to pay. We can pay only 10% of it to do that. So even if we are going through trials right now, let us think about what kind of attitude will God be pleased with. Then when we think about these things and please God, the trials will last only for a short time. The second kind of trial for sanctification is for us to realize evil deep in our nature. It is to go into spirit, basically. Let us not think trials are something hard or something difficult, but they are blessings. And also there are ways to go into spirit even without going through trials. So let us become those people who go through, go into spirit without having to go through so many trials. Of course, we have to go through trials to realize the things that are deep in our nature, but they are not something fearful. But so it is something delicate that we have to realize. So we can just be thankful and realize ourselves. And one of the best cases in the Bible to where a person realized his evil in his nature is the trial of Job. Job 1:1 says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. He was blameless and upright, and he was turning away from evil. As we understand very well, he turned away from evil in his deeds and action, outward actions. But deep inside his nature, there was this evil deep in his heart. He kept the law of God, he took care of the widows and orphans, and he helped the needy, and he was a righteous man, and he considered himself righteous. We can see that as you read through the book of Job. But the holiness, the kind of holiness that we are talking about, he was not one of them. He didn't have that kind of holiness. Even from his heart, he misunderstood God as a fearful God, and he couldn't realize the deep love of God, so he couldn't achieve holiness deep in his heart. And through the accusations of Satan, some trials came upon Job. We must not misunderstand about these accusations. Satan cannot accuse us even after we go into spirit and Holy Spirit. Satan could accuse Job because he had this evil deep in his nature. That is why God accepted that accusation, so that he could realize the evil that was deep in his nature. So Satan brought about many difficult situations. He lost all his wealth, all his children died, he lost everything, and eventually he had painful boils all over his body, and he was scratching himself with pieces of... as he was suffering so much, even in his on his body, he began to give out his evil that was deep in his nature. And he was speaking many evil words. So his evil nature was being revealed, but he didn't realize that fact. He didn't know he was speaking evil words. Even while going through those trials, he couldn't realize the fact that he had evil and he had a misunderstanding about God. And only after God appeared and explained to him, he realized he's evil and he cast it away. And after he repented thoroughly and cast away the sinful natures that were deep in his heart, he received the blessing. There was double portion of what he used to have. And we have to realize that we cannot just realize our evil deep in our nature and cast it away. Even though we live such a good life, we cannot realize the evil that is in our nature and cast it away by our own strength. But we can understand it, realize it through the words of life, through the messages, and we can realize it through advice from other people. But even though we realize them, we still have to try to cast them away. We need fasting and prayers, and also even though we try to cast them away, if those sins were hardened for a long time, it's not easy to cast it away in a short time, so sometimes we need trials to cast them away. Also, in case of Jacob, to become a man of spirit, he needed to go through trials. He was crafty. He was wise, but he was crafty. But for him to become like a worm, he had to go through trials for so many years, 20 years. And at the end of those 20 years, he had to lay down everything and he just relied on God. He was changed that way. Without those trials, he could have just thought he was doing well. He was wise. And he would have relied on himself alone. But without the blessing of God, how could his birthright be perfect? That he cunningly took from his elder brother. Because he cheated his brother, he had to run away from his brother. And he went to his uncle Laban. But Laban was also a crafty man. And he had to suffer. Jacob had to suffer under Laban. And he worked hard, but Laban would take advantage of him only. And anyway, he departed from Laban and he was coming back to his hometown. Only when Esau was coming to meet him with hundreds of men to kill him, he laid down everything before God and he completely committed himself into the hands of God, and only then his trials ended. So, when we put the blame on ourselves and realize our shortcomings or faults, do not just say, oh, God is giving me these trials to broaden my heart. Let us realize the sinful natures that are deep in our heart so that we can acknowledge them thoroughly and change them, cast them away. If we did not have peace with everybody, if we were arrogant, we have to break it down completely. Break it completely, demolish it, so we can become, so after becoming humble, don't just realize and stop there, but after realizing it, you have to try hard. When they come for consultation, they know their problems, the cause and outcome of the problems, but they don't try to change themselves. So what is the use of it? So we have to realize and change ourselves. So the trials will go away quickly when we demolish ourselves, when we demolish our ego, when we change our shortcomings. And so this is the reason why we sometimes have to go through trials. So to become, to cast away evil and become sanctified, we have to put our self to death every day. We have to die daily. But sometimes there are ways for us to change quickly without having to go through so many trials. It's the case with those young people who are going into spirit nowadays very quickly. How, without such a great severe trials? It's because they obeyed. As they listen to the message, they realize the evil in their heart and they just cast it away. They don't postpone it to 1 day, 2 days. They don't postpone it 1 day, 2 days, or 3 days. They realize, even if you realize your sins and do not cast it away, you still have to go through trials. Because your effort to cast it away are not enough. You still have to go through trials. If you pray for the same thing a week later, a month later, then, but in the case of those young people, as they realize something, as they receive advice, they say amen and they change them as soon as possible so they can quickly go into spirit. And, of course, you'd want to change yourself quickly, but because of some hardened sinful natures, or because of your past severe, serious past sin, grave sins, then you have to go to trials, and please be thankful and joyful when you go to trials. There are also trials. That are needed for us to demolish our fleshly thoughts. Sometimes you try to plan something, but things don't go as you planned. So later they have to pray. They ask for help, and they humble themselves. So they also realize the evil in their heart, and also they try to change themselves. And they now lead a kind of Christian life that God really wants. God doesn't want us to achieve something physical on this earth, but what He wants to achieve is the sanctification and holiness of our heart. So when the things don't go really well as we planned, we kneel before God and realize ourselves, humble ourselves, and only then we'll give the proper, real blessings. Also, there are trials that we go through to broaden our heart. We don't have enough time, so I cannot get into this. But briefly, if somebody hates you, you just think, oh, I didn't do anything wrong to him, and he just hates me. Sometimes you are praised by others, and some others are jealous of you. You don't hate them. But when you see those people, you know, it's not all, you cannot really feel comfortable. You cannot really feel happy. If somebody is jealous of you, and if somebody is giving you a hard time, you cannot just ignore the situation. So, in those kinds of situations, you kind of suffer in your heart. But you shouldn't just stay there. You have to pray about it. You have to pray that you want to love those people. You want to understand those people. So that they will not misunderstand you anymore. And you pray for them too. Then you are reminded of the love of the Lord, love of the shepherd, even though they were innocent. You know, even though he is senior pastor, he was innocent. In 1998 and 1999, he was praying for those people who are betraying him, who are wrongfully accusing him. So you are reminded of this kind of incident, event, and you try to broaden your heart more and more. So through those situations, you pray that your heart will be broadened even more because you are feeling the heart of the shepherd too. So now you can accept the situation with joy. In the past, you had the small heart, narrow heart. So you just wanted to hang around with those people whom you liked. But now, you can accept and you can accept any kind of person now, even those who are jealous of you, who do not like you, who misunderstand you, because you understand them and you love them no matter what. And as you try to love them in action too, they don't hate you anymore. Now you speak to them and speak to them with good words and you show good deeds to them. So now your small, narrow mind is being broadened so that you can go into a deeper level of spirit. So, because we have to put ourselves to death, we have to die daily. We have to have this kind of process. That's why sometimes we are allowed trials. When we think of the cases of patriarchs, they went through great trials, but now we are going through very little, minor trials compared to the changes that we go through. You say you are learning the Word of God and you are praying, but you are not on the rock of faith yet. And it takes a long time to go into spirit after being on the rock of faith. And that, of course, you have that some afflictions in your heart. But compare yourself with Jacob or King David. And it is such a little trial. Of course, we have the holiness gospel that sheds light on even the very details, the most minute details of your heart and evil. So sometimes you feel afflicted. When you listen to the messages, you can realize the forms of evil that you can only go realize when you go through trials. It is such a great blessing. In case of Job, he couldn't even realize himself even while he was going through trials. But as we listen to the message with a sort of life, words, if we just open up our mind, then we can realize ourselves, we can realize our evil. If you are just willing to understand your shortcomings just by listening to one message, and if you pray with all your heart, by the help and grace of the Holy Spirit and with the grace pouring down from above, we can so easily realize ourselves and change ourselves. Like it is said in the 31st anniversary service, God is giving us this grace of repentance, grace of realization, grace of enabling grace. It is not given on our accord, but by the sacrifice and dedication of the shepherd. And it is such a great grace of God for the last 31 years to give us this kind of grace. Senior pastor is on mountain prayer, even on this day. Through his sacrifice and dedication, we actually have to realize ourselves through such severe trials. And we have to cast away evil after such great toil and effort. But this kind of effort and toil is so shortened. We don't have to do as much as we had to do, actually. But we can do just a little bit of what we are supposed to do through the sacrifice and devotion of this senior pastor. And I hope we'll all be thankful for that grace. I was thinking in the 70s and 80s in Korea, at that time, Korea was not a rich country. And then there were many workers who went to the Middle East or to other countries to work in the construction site. These men had to leave their wives and children, their wife and children, to work in another country. If they work in those countries, they could earn a lot of money, so they could buy a house and other things. So those fathers, they went to the Middle East and other countries. And I was reminded of that kind of thing, that kind of thing. In a foreign country, you don't have, especially in the Middle East, you have to work there in such a under the scorching sunshine, and they didn't enjoy themselves. They had to send all the money to their family, to their wife and children. And if the wife was wise and thrifty, she would save the money and to buy the house and make the family prosper. But anyway, and in the same way, to make us beautiful, to make us a man of spirit and whole spirit, it is something we couldn't even imagine. Right now, we have this earnest desire to go into New Jerusalem. But as we look back on ourselves, our past life, we are not qualified to go into New Jerusalem, but only through the sacrifice of the shepherd, only through his prayers and intercessions and supplication before the Father God, we can change ourselves. We can become sanctified. And also he is sacrificing himself to reveal the glory of God. So the kind of attitude that we have to have while we go through trials is to be thankful, to be joyful. We have to try to change ourselves with our best. And let us try harder to change ourselves in trials. Let me conclude the message. We are receiving this kind of great love, and we are in the time of grace to change ourselves quickly. So for some people, this kind of situation itself can be a trial. People are receiving measures of faith, and their measure of faith is lower. And you feel it is hard. Oh, I feel embarrassed. I'm sorry. And I feel embarrassed. I used to be a leader. And I'm only this much. And this is not humbleness. And this is something so shameful. And if you keep on saying that, you will be only slow. You will keep on. And if you are not in this kind of situation, it'd be more difficult, more and more difficult for you to change yourself. If you feel embarrassed, you have to beat yourself to obedience. Do not say it is trial. If you feel it is love and grace of God, you can change yourself quickly. Not just to go into spirit, but also to go into Holy Spirit, we have to fill up our, there are some trials needed for us to fill up ourselves. It is like the case of Abraham when he offered his son Isaac, he went into Holy Spirit. And in case of Joseph, through 13 years of trial, he went into a blessed position. But when we go into Spirit and Holy Spirit, we don't have to go through such harsh trials. It is not as difficult as the biblical figures. And it's the same with the receiving power. We have to have so much prayers, so much toil to receive the power of God. But through the prayer and fasting of the shepherd, he is sharing that kind of power. He sealed us with his, he anointed us with his prayer. According to how we pray and how we burden our heart, the magnitude of the power manifested will be different. But just to receive the power of God, we have to accumulate so much amount of prayer before God. But God, but the shepherd gave it to us for free. Actually, you didn't go through the trials that you were supposed to go through because of your sins. But rather, your speed of spiritual growth is much faster. And do not think trials are hard. Oh, I just want to be saved. I just want to lead a casual Christian life. There must not be anybody who thinks like that. And the trials are not something so hard. You can just overcome them with joy and gratefulness. Then you can easily overcome them and realize yourself and can change yourself quickly. And so have the hope that you will be changed. Romans 8:17-18 says, "And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." If you're longing for the glory that will be revealed in the future, you will be able to go through the trials that are given to you now. 1 Peter 1:6-7 says, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So to give us honor and glory, God is allowing us trials. Are you shedding tears or are you afflicted in your heart? Remember that it is a blessed time of blessing. Overcome them with thanksgiving. But I hope you will all receive a glory. Let us pray together, thinking about the message. Heavenly Father, thank you. The shepherd took up so much of the trials that we had to receive. And what a great blessing this is. We can change so quickly. Father, we want to be changed quickly. Let us understand what kind of attitude we should have about the trials. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. We'll receive the prayer for the sick of the senior pastor. Lay your hands on sick parts and infirmities. And receive the prayer for your heart's desires, laying your hands on your chest. Hallelujah, Almighty God, our loving Father. Lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN Internet and Satellite TV, in branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all other children of God around the world. Give them the faith to believe from heart. Drive away negative thoughts and doubts, and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, tissues, and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Light come. Scorch all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problems, and heart, lung, and women's diseases, and all inflammations go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases go away. All kinds of paralysis be loosened. Get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well, let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Let there be no scars remaining. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves, tissues, and cells be regenerated. Bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessings of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command. The enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, the evil forces of heavenly places, and their servants go away. Go away, evil, unclean, false, and deceitful spirits, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, go away, light come. Father God, give them the strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them and let their families be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding, and give them enthusiasm and fervor to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or in whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying the Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.